Thank you for that. Let's all stand together just to read the scripture this morning out of respect for the Bible, if you are able. Malachi chapter number 3, and we'll start in verse number 7. If you get to the New Testament, which is Matthew, hang a left. It's the last book of the Old Testament, okay? Malachi chapter number 3. We'll start in verse number 7. We'll read through to verse 12. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's pray this morning. Our Father, we're so grateful for your love. We pray, Father, as we look today at the scripture, that you would help us to have your mind, see the truth that you want us to get this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, we are finishing up our stewardship month. Our stewardship month talks about, of course, the fact that the foundational principle is that God owns everything that we have, and he has given it to us as managers to take care of. We do this every year. The first week, we looked at some principles about money that we needed to understand, some very foundational principles that applied through many things. Last week, we looked at the seriousness of our stewardship. Whenever we end our stewardship month, we are very specific, and we talk about giving. It's always a touchy subject in church, because we all know people who have used it to self gain, people who have basically lied about it. By the way, be very careful about who you listen to on the radio, on the internet, and especially on that bogus thing called Christian television. Okay, they're asking you to plant your faith seed because God wants you to be rich, and the only one receiving the seed is them, and the only one rich is them. Okay, and so we see that, and we see the extremes of it, and because we see the extremes of it, if someone gets up and just shares what the Bible says about it, we get a little uncomfortable. And I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable today, but we do have a responsibility. Our finances are a big part of our life, and we need God's blessing on every part of our life, but we also need it on our finances. And so you say, are you afraid to talk? I'm not, because it's in the Bible, and I want God to bless every aspect of your life. You say, well, I'm uncomfortable with it. Well, give us a listen this morning. Next week, we'll talk about Jesus or something different, and you'll be fine. But as I talked about on Thursday night when we talked a little about our school system, and the corruption of our school system, and the importance of a Christian school, we have a responsibility to tell the truth. And so I'm not going to shy away from that. And just personally speaking, I'm glad that early on in my Christian life I got in on this. I am glad that I understood it for whatever reason it was right off the bat, and I've needed it my whole life, and it has helped me. So I'm not here to pressure you. I'm not here to beat you over the head, but I am here to share it. and then ask you to think about what God would want you to do in this area. And so that's where we're at. We're in the book of Malachi this morning. The message of the book of Malachi dealt with the carelessness and the sin and the compromise of the people and the spiritual leadership of Israel at that time. Malachi was the last prophet to speak in the Old Testament, and so really he's the last voice heard directly from God until you get to the New Testament. It's written in a style that is a conversation between God and his people. He sees several things in the book. He sees the preceding of the coming of the Messiah, his first coming as the Messiah, and his second coming again for us on the horizon of prophecy. He specifically takes on the sins of Israel in their failure to honor God. And one of the key things he's going to talk about was their failure to honor God with their substance. And that's where we are at today. That's how we should view these verses. These verses, if you've been in church at all, you've heard a message about it. When we talk about stewardship and we talk about specifically giving, we go to Malachi and you say, these are the prototypical verses. But I want to look at them this morning. There are two views of tithing in these verses, and I want to look at both of them today. The first view I want us to see is man's view. How does man look at it sometimes? You see, if we are not careful as Christians, we like to segregate things in life. We take all the aspects of our life and we separate them. We say that on Sunday mornings when I come to church, that's part of my Christian life. But when I'm at work Monday through Friday, that's just my regular life. When we sit down and we see our prayer time, Bible, and I spend in time with God, and then we see how we live our life, that's separate. God doesn't see anything we do in the Christian life as separate. He sees it as a whole. For you see, I'm not just a Christian on Sunday morning. Some people might accuse me of that. I'm not just a Christian Tuesday soul winning. I'm not just a Christian Thursday night Bible study. I'm a Christian 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Thank you, Raul. I needed your help there for a minute. I blew a tire. Now sit up straight and quit talking. I'm a Christian all the time. One of the things we like to separate from our Christianity is our finances. By the way, Jesus didn't do that. He talked much about it. Yeah. By the way, the Bible doesn't do that. The Bible talks much about it. And we would do well to understand money, possessions, from God's perspective, not just ours. In these verses, we see some man's view sometimes with their money. I want you to notice, first of all, one of man's views is this. We separate our money from our relationship with God, as I already mentioned. Look at verse 7. Verse 7, he says, return unto me, and I will return unto you. God is saying here to them, listen, you have basically, you have walked away. You've stepped away from me. And he says, you need to return to me. But you say, wherein shall we return? Now, he's going to let them know that the way that they walked away from him and the way they need to return, the whole context is talking about what? Their money and their giving. They always were at, if you read the whole book of Malachi, but ye say, and they ask a question, that's the whole book of Malachi. All throughout there, they're questioning God. And God says, you've left me. He goes, well, how do we leave you? You know why they had to ask that question? Because they separated their giving from their relationship with God. But unfortunately for you and I, not unfortunately really, if we look at it right, he doesn't separate it. He says, if you're going to come back to me, you've got to come back to me the same way you walked away from me. And you know how you walked away from me in this case? You walked away from me on the path of money. Their path to returning was paved with their tithes. He said, well, wait a minute. I'm faithful in every other area of my life. I come to church every Sunday. By the way, thank God you come to church every Sunday. I think it's a good thing. In fact, I think it's so good, I think you ought to come back on Sunday night and Thursday night. I'm just all in on all of it. And by the way, don't get me wrong. I appreciate your faithfulness to church. I do. Thank you for being here, being a part of our church. Well, I read my Bible. I mean, this year, isn't it, explore the book. And you were telling us to read our Bible every day. In fact, you told us, some of us, we should read it through twice this year. Thank God if you are. And by the way, you need to read your Bible. Church isn't enough. So I come to church every Sunday and Thursday, but you need to be in your Bible. Well, I pray. I'm glad you pray. Listen, we need to pray to God. By the way, as soon as we get off of this property and we get out there, if you listen to the news and I don't because it's discouraging, you need to pray. I need to pray. Let's make sure we're praying. But guess what? That's no excuse for the others. Well, I serve the Lord. You know, sometimes I do this very dangerous thing in the church. It's called nursery duty. That is dangerous. I'm a bus driver. By the way, we could use more bus drivers. Let me just, free commercial break there. Come see us. We'll help you get your license. Amen? But bus driver, you name it. I'm in the choir. Thank God. I love the choir, Brother Pineda. If I could sing, I just like standing near them. Unfortunately, I stand by the worst part of it. These four guys right here. The Three Stooges plus Shem. Right there. I love the orchestra. And if you play an instrument, yeah, we have more chairs. We'll put up more chairs for you. The orchestra was playing. I said, you know what? We're really tight on our budget, but we'll find a way to get some microphones for the orchestra because it sounds so good. And I'm glad you do all that. But let me just tell you something. If you're doing all that stuff, you can't separate your money from that. Money's not spiritual. When I play in the orchestra, it's spiritual. When I read my Bible, it's spiritual. When I pray, it's spiritual. When I come to church, it's spiritual. But my checkbook is not spiritual. Your checkbook may be one of the most spiritual things that you have. It may be the biggest indicator of where your Christian life really is at. Let's not separate that. Scripture teaches us that money, first and foremost, is a matter of the heart. It really is. And all of us, myself included, must be very careful because that money can just take over our heart. It can just take over. We cannot separate it from our relationship with God. Secondly, seeing it from man's perspective, we cannot separate it from our responsibility to God. They said, how have we left you? How do we got to return? He says in verse 8, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Now, if we understand stewardship, we understand that everything is given to us from God, then God has a right to ask us to give that portion back to Him. And if we don't give it back to Him, that's not just a choice. He says we have a responsibility because He told them, because they were not giving it to Him, that they were not just being disobedient. He didn't even say, Brother Pineda, that they were stealing from him. Anybody ever had anything stolen from them? How many of you had something stolen? And the rest of you are just afraid to put your hands up. I'm sure we all have. How many of you ever given taxes to the IRS? Okay, you've had money stolen from you, all right? But there's a huge difference. How many of you have been robbed? You know the difference? Right. What's robbed? They came and took it directly from you. See, God didn't say we stole it from him because God's never like turns his back and looks back and says, where'd that go? No. God sees and knows everything and he's everywhere. And so when we're not giving him his, it's like we're taking it from him. You say, well, we're robbing him? Yeah, because we have a responsibility to give it back to him. See, we separate that. No, money's not spiritual and it's mine and I can do whatever I want with it. I don't have to give God anything. You want to believe that, that's fine, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches when we don't give God that which is his, we are robbing him. Therefore, we are not fulfilling our responsibility. And God wants us to fulfill our responsibility. It's very interesting here that the way that the Israelites dealt with it, the way they went back and forth with God with it is they questioned him. Have you ever noticed when somebody doesn't want to believe or do something that is right, they always try to find a way to question it? And by the way, their questions are illegitimate. You know, they always find some extreme. We question God so easily. The only question that we can ask God when it comes to anything he wants us to do is it in the Bible? And if it is and God wants us to do it, case closed. There's no other question. There's no further questions. God said it, therefore. You ever tell your children to do something? They're like, yeah, but. It's like, stop. I don't hear any questions. Do it. Okay? This isn't question and answer time. This is do what I say time. Right? Well, God told us to do it. And by the way, God, unlike us who are sometimes wrong, God's always right. And so when God tells us to do something, the only alternative is, are we going to do it or are we not going to do it? Questions are nothing more than man-made reasons for not doing something we know that we should. Trying to convince our conscience that we don't have to do something. Yeah. We separate it from our responsibility. And then lastly, for the man's view, we separate it from the response from God. You see, when they weren't obedient, God responded to them. Look at verse 9. Ye are cursed with a curse. Things didn't go well for them. Now, there were many ways they were cursed. They were under God's disobedience. But one of the ways they were cursed was they were an agricultural type society. In other words, it wasn't a straight work money type society. Basically, their wealth was tied up in cattle, cattle and their vines, their plants, their crops, that type of thing. So when they weren't giving back to God, because that's why God commands them, look, give a tenth of your first fruit. When you harvest your crops, you give your first 10% to me. That doesn't mean if you have a fruit tree in the back of your house, you have to take 10% of the fruit and turn it in. Okay? Because our wealth is tied up in something different. But that's what their wealth was. So God's like, if they're not giving, guess what? He may withhold the rain. We'll see later. He may send pestilence to their crops and damage their crops. And they could not get the correlation that the way they were handling their money was affecting God's blessing and provision of that money. I'm going to be honest with you. Some of you in here, you might be struggling financially solely because you're not obeying God in this area. I've told you before, math was one of my, I didn't go to school very much. I didn't go to school hardly at all in high school, but I did go in junior high, but it was not my strong suit. But there was one class that I did well, math. By ninth grade, I finished all my math for my high school years. I was done with it. Math to me came fairly easy. And they had this program where you could just go at your own pace, and I was done. Now, I can tell you knowing a little bit about math that if you look at it and say, if I have $100 or $90, to say it's easier to get by a 90 than a 100 does not make mathematical sense, but it makes a whole lot of spiritual sense. Yeah. Because there's a spiritual dynamic. Part of stewardship is trust. Yep. We talked about that with our children on Thursday night. Some of you don't trust your children to the Lord. You have a stewardship to do that, but with our finances. So we don't understand that if we're not trusting God with our finances, maybe things aren't going as well as they could, because God wants to be a part of that, and we're going to see that in a minute. They didn't associate what was happening to them to their disobedience to God. By the way, people do that all the time, and not just in finances. They disobey God in so many different areas in their life, and they wonder why they go from problem to problem to problem to problem. It's the problem isn't the problem. The problem is the lifestyle, the choice, the root is what you're doing. And you need to associate not obeying God in those areas of your life with the problems you're having in your life. And if you'll fix that, the fruit will be better, and that will automatically fix itself. The same is true with finances. So that's man's view. In the few minutes we have left, I want us to look at God's view. When God looks at our giving, he views it through a lens. And this lens has many different focuses. First of all, he sees it through the lens of obedience. Verse 7, he says, from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. He bottom line is saying, listen, since your fathers, Israel always liked to look back at their spiritual fathers. He goes, you want to look back at your fathers? From the days of your fathers, you haven't been obeying me. Now, he's going to deal with them in the present, but he says, listen, it's been a long time, like father, like son. He says, through obedience. He says, you're not obeying me. They had a history of disobeying God. As you read the Old Testament and you read from the time they left Egypt until you get up really to they're carried off into Babylon, their whole history is primarily disobedience. Yes, you had some that would come along that would obey God. Yes, you had some good kings, but you had mostly a people that were disobedient, and they paid for it. God says, and he's talking specifically about their giving, he says, you're not following my ordinances. You're not obeying me. And by the way, I can smell that food they're cooking out there. Can you smell that? It's killing me. I think I'm going to go for the crippled chicken, okay? That's what came up with those names. Try to focus here. But it's obedience. Money can cause us very many issues in our life. If you're not careful, you become greedy. If you're not careful, you get proud about it. By the way, as we looked at a couple weeks ago, if your perspective about money is wrong, it's going to cause you undue temptation. You might even get into covetousness where you're so into it, you're so not focused on what God has given you, you want more and you want what other people have. Or we become stingy. But really, the only problem really is this: it's disobedience. When it comes to what God asks us to do with our money, we have two options: obey, disobey. That's it. There's no other option. Letter B, how else does God see it? God sees it through respect. Respect. He says in verse 8, will a man rob God? Then he says, yet ye've robbed me in your tithes and offerings. I can't think of the bigger disrespect we can have from God than to rob from him. Disrespect him in that way. You ever give your children something and then, you know, you do it with the little kids or something, grandkids come over, you give them a little, hey, here, you can have this. It's like, hey, let grandpa have one. Or let dad have one. And they're like, no. It's like, you little brat, I'm the one who gave it to you. And I'll take it from you right now. Now, some are like, oh, well, they're just being cute. It's like, they ain't being cute. It's like, you're going to give me one or I'm taking one. Okay, I gave that to you. Could you imagine? God gives us everything we have and we can't even give him anything. We're disrespecting him. Okay? We say we love him, but in our life and everything we do, we don't give him anything. That's the ultimate disrespect. That's why he tells us, I love this verse in Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. See, when we're giving to God, we're not, and I know we're supposed to do it because we obey God. And that's a good point to do right there. But you know, I try to do it because, Lord, I love you, and maybe this is a way in which I can say, you're important in my life, and I'm honoring you, and if I can honor you with this in the priority, so be it. And that's what I want to do. We either honor or we dishonor and disrespect him. So God sees it as a respect issue. Give it to me and give it to me first. Honor the Lord. He also sees it, and I like this, through mission. Look at verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Why? That there may be meat in mine house. How was the temple provided for? Their needs and everything they did. It was all provided for through the giving of his people. That's what it was for. The temple, they had a mission, they had a job to do, they had things to do to honor and glorify God and honor him to the world. And how were their needs met? It was met through the giving of his people. The storehouse was a room in the temple where all those agricultural and that type of thing, those tithes, could be stored. By the way, when Nehemiah came back after they were taken out to Babylon, he came back and was going to rebuild the wall. One of the things he found disturbing was that the priests were not even fulfilling their job at the temple. They had to leave and go get jobs or go do crops and do their own fields because the people weren't bringing the money and they could not take care of the needs, and the temple was in disrepair. That's what happens. Listen, we ought to see our giving through not just, well, you're giving to the church. No, we're giving to the church for the mission of the church. All that the church accomplishes, go ye out into all the world, reach people, run buses, share the gospel, help people in need. That is all done through the church, but how's the church going to do that if the needs aren't met? Aren't you glad that through our obedience, God uses that to bear fruit to the message of Jesus Christ? It's like a little extra side thing. Every person that's been reached, every person that trusts Christ as Savior, every person that their family was going one direction, their life was going one direction, and now it's completely turned and they're going the right direction, that is due through, the work of God's people, but through the giving of God's people. Very important. So God sees it through meeting the needs of the church. We've heard many say this, but if every person in this country who claimed to be a Christian really lived like a Christian and gave like a Christian, we would reach this world. We wouldn't have to have faith promise missions. Brother Charlie, we wouldn't need a building program. We would have all the money we need. Yep. But the fact of the matter is, not everybody who claims the name Christ acts and gives like a Christian. And that's why we're where we're at. But you know what? We can do our part. Let's do what we're supposed to do. Let's see the mission. Let's see what our money does for the cause of Christ. He also sees it through faith. Through faith. He says, and prove me now in verse 10, herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. We mention this often, but I think we need the encouragement. God says, you know what? Why don't you take your money, and I know you're struggling with it. And by the way, it is hard. We have bills, right? How many of you have bills? And the rest of you just didn't want to raise your hand. Or you live at home with your parents, so they have bills for you. We all have bills. I mean, come on. It's there. And we have things that we have to do. And we understand our money, but and it gets such a draw on us. And it's like, how's everything going to happen? God says, listen, prove me. See, God understood that this is a tough area for us. As I've mentioned, it's a competing God. It is a competing God. And so God says, I'll tell you what you can do. Put me to the test. That's kind of why we call it tithe challenge. God challenges us saying, listen, why don't you prove me? Why don't you put me to the test? Why don't you see if you give, if I will not take care of you like I have promised to take care of you? You ever get something they say, money back guarantee? I bought something on Amazon, and Amazon's usually pretty good, and it was messed up. It actually injured me, and I'm like, I'm sending that thing back. And the company said, well, we have to see it first, and you pay to send it back. What happened to your money-back guarantee? Okay, that was a lie. We've all been taken in by that. Now, God doesn't have a money-back guarantee. He doesn't need to, because what he says is right, and it always works. Right. I've never met anybody that says, I tithe, and things are worse. I have tithed, and I am just not happy with what God is doing. I've not met one. By the way, I will say this, I've tithed and I've had some very tough times. But you know what? It's just kind of like, you know what? I think God's going to take care of us, and he told us to do it point blank anyhow. I'm going to do it. Can I tell you something? Always works out. Always works out. Why? I'm naive. I am so naive, I just have a tendency to believe what the book says. And I think we should all get to that point. So God helps us out. He says, I know you're struggling here. Put me to the test. Go ahead. Through faith. God sees it also through blessing. Look what he says, verse 10. If I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. God says, listen, by the way, when we rob from God, we're not just robbing from God. You know who else you're robbing from? Yourself. You're keeping the blessings. Here they were holding on to it. I'm not giving to God. I'm not going to go to the temple and give I'm hanging on to it. And you know what? Their crops didn't do as well. Things weren't going as well. They were impoverished. They didn't understand that the thing that was keeping them from the blessing was the thing that they were keeping from God in the first place. I'm keeping this so I'll have all I need. And God says the reason you don't have all you need is because you're not giving it to me. The blessing is coming. He says, I'm just going to open the windows of heaven, and I will make sure you are taken care of. When we rob God, we rob ourselves. Proverbs 3:10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. That's the verse that came after, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of thine increase. He says, you know, if you do that, you're going to be taken care of. We struggle. That spiritual principle is everywhere in the New Testament. Luke 6:8, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. You ever have something, you put like stuff in a, you get a little a jar and you shake it up and it goes down. When we go to San Francisco, my wife, she gets these salt deals. Over on Pier 39, she likes these bath salts, whatever, and so she likes that. And you say like, you fill it up yourself. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You seen those? And it's like you can get like 2 bottles for $20. I'm like, you okay? And you fill it up, and it gets full. And the first time we were there, lady said, just here, do this. And she grabbed it and she banged it, and it was full. And now there was that much space in it. When you banged it, it just went down. And now you had room for more. So I'm like, I'm in for more. I mean, I'm not even going to use the stuff. And I think it's disgusting, but she likes it. I'm going to get my money's worth at least. And so I'm like, here, let's see. And every time you do it, it's like it's full. It's like, yeah, I got some more room. You know, let's jam that thing. Let's get it in there. That's what God is saying. I'm going to pour it in. I'm going to give you a blessing and not just throw it in. It's almost like you're shaking it so that there's more room so I can add more blessing to you. That's just the principle. God wants to bless us throughout many areas of our life. And if we're not blessed, it's simply because we're not doing what he told us to do to be blessed. And our giving is one of those areas. And then the last thing is this. God sees it through provision. Provision. Verse 12, he says, verse 11, he says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. One way God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pour out the blessings, but I'm going to take care of what you have. Your crops, the pestilence isn't going to get your crops anymore. I'm going to make sure that what you have is taken care of. Now, how does this all happen? I'm going to tell you how it happens. It happens through commitment. God wants us to commit to it. He told his people this so they would say, you know what? He asked him, he says, you need to return to me. What does that mean? You need to come back to me and make a commitment to give to me like you haven't been giving, like I've told you to. Now, we do this every year, and we're not, you don't put your name down, any of that stuff, but we ask people to look at their giving and make a commitment. Do you know, people don't like to make commitments. You know what I found? I have found people that even are going to do something don't want to make a commitment to do it. I've always wondered, Brother Pichardo, if you've ever looked at the numbers, whenever we have our faith promise commitment, it gives us an idea of how much money is going to come in. But you know, Brother Pinedo, more always comes in. Am I right or am I lying? Am I preaching? No. You know why? Because there are people that say, I'm going to give to faith promise, but I don't want to put on a commitment card. You know why? They want the back door. I'm going to do it, but, you know, I don't want to commit to it in case later on I don't want to do it. Now, they do it because the numbers are always bigger. You guys do it for summer saturation signs-ups. You sign up, more people show up than sign up. You know why? You know you're coming, but you want a back door in case grandma has a birthday party. Then you don't have to come. Why don't we just commit? Right? Yep. TT and Agil committed yesterday. There ain't no back door for that buddy anymore. He's done. Stick a fork in him. He's toast. Okay? Commitment. Listen, what's wrong with commitment? Commitment is really is all about who it's attached to. So commitment to the Lord, that's a good commitment because it's attached to the Lord. And God wants us to say, you know what, Lord? If that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. Let's bow our heads just for a minute.